Hey, welcome to the Intentional Living Center today. Dr. Randy here. You know, this is a spot, a place, a real people. We care about you. We love you. And we want to help you experience hope in Christ. We join you today at the place where the daily grind of your family and your work and your finances, that we get it, we're there, we understand, meets the practical one thing, biblically based solutions. We believe every problem has a solution in Christ that can result in more freedom and peace and direction. And if that's something that you say, I'd like that, give me a call and leave your question or comment on our storyline. We got callers already lined up for you today at 888-888-1717. And to that, we start with Karina in Arizona. What's going on, Karina?
I'm just struggling with parenting, with discipline end of it. He was fine. I was able to talk things through him. Even as a toddler, he was fine. But just now that he started school, I'm noticing he's doing a lot of different things. For example, like he hits me out of nowhere. He starts out of frustration. He started hitting me. He started telling me, stop it, mommy, like when he doesn't like something. I just really don't know what to do. I tried time out. And I know the end result, like I want to raise a respectful, responsible man of God, but I just don't know what God has called me to do. Like, I don't know what to do right now.
All right. Is Dad in the house? Are you single mom? Or?
No, it's me, but I'm a stay-at-home mom. My husband works a lot, so I'm probably the main disciplinary, and my husband is really laid back with him. So
you might offset it. Are you a little more hovering?
A little bit, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is the home pretty calm? I mean, is there any big disruptions in the house and so on?
No,
I know you're 8 months pregnant, but I mean, other than that?
No.
Okay.
Everything's been fine. I mean, my husband and I, you know, we have a good marriage, but of course, we have arguments here and there that we try to keep away from him so he doesn't, like, learn the aggression or, you know, when we...
Let me ask you this. Did you expect him to be different at this age than he is?
Yes, only because I have a 7-year-old nephew that I helped. My sister was a single mom, and I helped her so much with my 7-year-old nephew when he was a toddler. If I told him, please pick up your toys, he would do it willingly. He never raised his voice at us. He never hit us or tried to hit me. He was very respectful. Like, it just came naturally. So I thought that's how toddlers were. You always heard of the terrible twos, but I never saw that in my nephew, which I helped raise.
Now
seeing my son, it's very different.
All right. And does that make you feel like you're doing something wrong?
Yes. And I'll be honest with you. Like, I have breakdowns. Like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Listen, you're going to make it, Karina. It's going to be okay. Take a deep breath. You're not raising your nephew. Every child's different. My friend, Dr. Kevin Lehman, was very successful with a national bestseller book called The Birth Order Book, because first, second babies are all different. We just produce different kinds of kids, and they behave differently and respond differently. My wife and I, we have 3 children, 13 grandchildren. Every one of them is different. Some of them are quiet. Some of them are outgoing. Some are more passive. Some are more aggressive. Some are huggers and some aren't. They're all different. I mean, that's just the way human beings are. We're different. So stop comparing. I say to parents, don't look at some other kid and say, I wish my kid was like that. Or it's easier to say, I'm glad my kid's not like that, right? I mean, but when we start the comparison game, it gets to be a problem. Number two, Karina, the best kind of parenting is when it's a team sport. And I get it, you know, single parents listening, you know exactly what I'm talking about when you have to carry the load alone. When a mom and dad are on the same team, that's a win-win for everybody. And it sounds like your husband's busy and maybe a little more disengaged from the process. You're right there. And this little guy has figured you out, and he knows how to push those buttons. And when dad's around, not quite so much, because dad's going to respond differently to him. So let me be really specific. Here are 3 things you can do. Number one, stay calm. This little guy's powerful, and he's taking advantage of it. He knows how to push your buttons. He's got you just where he wants you to be. Stay calm. Stay confident. Stop the hit when he just grab it and say no. In other words, just be in charge. You don't have to get angry, not harsh, not punitive. Just stop it. And then set some limits. Could be time out. It could be sitting in your room for a while. Could be taking away. something or could be just diverting into another activity. But the more confident you are following through lovingly and consistently, the more successful you're going to be as a parent. And I hope that helps, Corinne. You're going to make it. My dad used to say a long time ago when we were raising kids, don't worry about it, Randy, when you go through a stage, because they're going to go from one stage into another, into another, into another. Only be worried when they stay stuck in one of those stages.
Hi, I'm calling to talk about my relationship with my in-laws and what I've learned. My husband and I have been married for 33 years, and we became saved after we got married. So that was a very difficult thing for his parents to understand. But through all of that and some of the challenges, I just had to keep remembering that I represent Christ in everything I do. And so I've always tried to do my best with that. If there was a problem, to talk about it and to calmly resolve any problems. It didn't always go smoothly, but that was always the goal, that we would do that. And now we are in-laws, and we try to do the same things. We have three daughters, and their husbands are wonderful, but we respect them. They're adults, they make their own decisions, and thankfully they all are believers, but we do try to, like I said, represent Christ in everything that we do. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Kathy. Katie, rather, appreciate it. By the way, our storyline's always busy, and we just, it's like going to a cupboard and finding what's in there when you all share your comments, when you call 888-888-1717. I asked the question, just imagine if you woke up tomorrow and overnight, God did a miracle in your life. Whatever it is you were facing, just boom, it was gone. What would I notice about you? What would I notice about you and your life tomorrow morning? What would be different? Beth, it sounds like you want to answer that. What would I notice different in your life?
Well, I think there would be more calmness, and I'm not trying to be a nag to my son, but, you know, maybe I wouldn't be a nag to him about him just going to get his GED. Mm-hmm. I'd just be like satisfied, like, okay, just go get it already. And I would be a better peace of mind, even though he's very intelligent and he's working, he's putting computer parts together and selling computers to people and helping them with their computers. You know, he is at least capable of doing things of that nature, but I know he's smart and he could go a long way, and just wishing that God would be in his life to guide him more to just go ahead and nip that in the bud.
All right, so he does a lot of good things, but you'd have more peace and you would be less of a nag.
Right, and I don't think I'm a nag, because I just maybe say it once in a month, like, oh, you know, you could probably get faster with that computer if you took that technical class, and if you have the GED, just go knock that out. And
hey, here's the question, Beth, here's the question. Yes. Would he say you're a nag?
Sometimes, but not much, because I backed way off where I was a long time ago.
How old is he?
I'm really nipping that one. He's 18.
18, okay. Does he have some goals in his life, things he wants to go, where he wants to go?
He's still trying to figure that one out.
Okay.
I think it's more with the computers and helping people.
All right. The reason I ask the question is, but there's something powerful about asking, if we woke up tomorrow, whatever it is we're facing was healed, was gone, was changed, what would be different about us? And the reason the question's asked that way is because it's about us. You know, it's about us. And what you're saying is, I'd have more peace because, correct me if I'm wrong, but what I hear you saying is, I see such potential in my son, and I'm hurting for him, and I wish I could just get him to do what I know he needs to do that would be so good for him. And instead, I can see where he needs to go, and he can't see it.
That is correct, because even people, neighbors, people, his friends would tell me that, he just needs to go get his GED.
Yeah.
It'll take him further.
All right, and then so if you here's the deal, though. You said you want more peace. Here's where you're going to find the peace. I'm going to pray for my son. I'm not going to nag him. I'm not going to remind him about anything. But what you can do, because you're in your little circle, what we call our circle of control, you can say, you could say to your son, hey, you know, son, I love you. You're 18 years old. I'm glad to have you here. But if you're going to be living here, I got to see, you know, you got to tell me where you're going, what your plans are, because, you know, this isn't long term. You know, you can't be here when you're 22 and 23. I'm assuming at some point you got to get on with your life. Instead of telling him where he should go, why don't you ask him what his plans are and hold him accountable to put some plans together that he can tell you what his plans are, not you telling him what you think they should be.
Yes, and he's been trying to get out. He wants me to take, which goes through my dad, the college money and help him find a place. I'm like, no, you know, I told him, go get your GED first and we'll talk. You have to talk to Papa. And he's like, oh, never mind.
Mm-hmm.
So he wants to move out. He's trying to work on that.
Yeah. Well, if you know, again, I asked the question because, Beth, you can't control all that. And as far as any money from his grandfather, that seems to me that's between the two of them. If he's still alive, and if not, I would say this was clearly what it was for. And so I'm going to honor him to follow through with what his desire was. But again, listen, I asked the question because what you're struggling with, Beth, is you want more peace in your relationship with your son. The best way to get there is to just be clear where your boundaries are and how you can help him, encourage him, pray for him, but not beg him or bug him or remind him so much. All right. Shannon, same thing. Shannon wants to answer the question. Shannon, you want to answer that question? What would be different tomorrow? What would I see different in your life if everything got fixed overnight?
I think there would be a lot more joy, and I would take time off work. I have an estranged son, and he has two daughters and a wife that I adore, and I miss them desperately. So if it was fixed, I would just go and sit with him. I'd want to just sit.
So you'd be feeling just more comfort, joy, just peace?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In a relationship or in everything in life or just in that relationship?
Everything. It's all consuming. And so I think everything would feel brighter and lighter. And I love Jesus. I'm a Christian. I trust him and I know that my faith is secure and I know that my joy is in him. But I just really miss my baby. I miss my son.
Yeah. And so it consumes other areas of your life. Does it kind of make it your life a little gray in all areas?
Yeah, it's just dark.
Yeah.
So I just miss him. And I know a lot of people are struggling with estrangement. It seems like it's everywhere.
Yeah. What helps you? What helps you feel a little more joy?
I'm trying to spend, you know, time just investing in my job and my other kids. And but it's when you've got that outlier.
Yeah.
I just want to bring him home.
Yeah. Yeah, I think about the prodigal, the dad with the prodigal. I don't know. He probably felt the same way, I'm sure, on days when he wondered what his son was doing and wished he could reconnect with him. But he had no control over it, did he?
Mm-mm.
Is there anything you have control over in relationship with your son?
No, they've blocked us on everything, and I'm trying to respect his boundary.
Yeah.
But I want to find, and like my gut reaction is to just go find him and hug him, but it's not what he wants. And I just keep thinking that he's telling me what he wants is not me, not us, and I need to respect that, but it is killing me.
I can hear that. What about your husband?
He's struggling too. We've been in counseling, and we're trying to make ourselves better so that if he does come home, that we can. And I don't mean home by like moving home. Uh-huh. He's married.
I got it.
But just that we would be in a better place to love him in a way that matters to him, and the way that makes him feel heard and seen.
How is this taken away from your other relation, your other kids, and the relationship with the other children?
I think they're just tired of hearing about it, and so we're trying not to talk about it around them. But
And so we don't talk about it around them to give them a break. Our counselor recommended that.
Yeah.
But it's all I think about. I pray for them constantly. I pray that I just feel like my son is at a point in his life where his time being my son is kind of over. Now he's a husband and a father.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of praying for him to, like, as much as I want him to come home, I'm just praying that he is doing God's will in that role, like being the best dad and the best father. And if having separation from us allows him to be that, that God would grant contentment in him being away.
You can tell yourself that, but it's hard to translate from your head down that 18 inches to your heart, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. How is this impacting you in your relationship with your husband at all?
Yeah, we're okay, but it's hard because my son was upset with him. Like, that was the main issue was their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And
how old is your son now?
He is 25.
Yeah. Well, probably others have told you this. It's not over yet, right?
Yeah, he's 24. He'll be 25 in December. I know.
Time has healing and kids and grandkids. I mean, with wise people, they wake up too, and there's an opportunity to reconnect. I'm going to ask you the question. Maybe you could expand a little bit. What one thing helps you find the greatest joy that's possible right now in your life? What is it?
The rest of my family.
Okay. So maybe a wise thing to do is say, hey, I'm going to have a time every day that I set aside. I don't know if it's first thing in the morning, whatever, when you're doing scripture, and I'm going to pray for my family and specifically for my son. But I'm going to choose, and I know it's hard because the thinking gets going, doesn't it? But I'm going to choose to, when I walk away from that, I'm going to leave that there and tell myself the truth every time that thought comes. Because the Bible says, focus on the truth. Philippians 4:8. And the truth is what you've told me. I can't control my son. I can't undo anything that's been done. He knows the door is open. He knows we love him. He knows that that's our desire. And I give him to the Lord again today, and then turn my focus to my husband, to my work, to my other kids, to finding other places where you can find joy. What is that what your counselor's kind of helping you do too?
Yeah. And I have better days. It's been since Christmas. I have better days here and there, but it's like a heaviness that follows me everywhere.
Man, I hear you. And I know, let me pray with you in a moment here. Shannon, but it's good you're seeing a counselor, because this can, kind of thing can slip into depression and other areas where you need some, you know, really deal with it. It becomes a broader issue than just my son. It becomes a part of, you know, what I'm wrestling with as a person. And I hear some of that. So the fact that you're with a counselor is a very positive thing. Let me pray with you, Shannon. Lord, I do pray for Shannon. She's called, and boy, you hear her heart, and your Bible, your word in the scripture says, you are here for the brokenhearted. She's got a broken heart. And like many parents today who have an estrangement with a son or daughter, and boy, that's just something that you'd like to fix and change, and you just can't. I pray that you'll intervene into this whole family and have some healing, and let it begin with Shannon and her husband. We pray that in the days and weeks ahead, that she'll find more peace, more freedom, more comfort, and as she requested, more joy in her life. In Christ's name.
Amen. Thank you.
We'll be praying for you. Thank you for your call.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank
you. You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back. Have you ever wondered why you keep struggling with the same thoughts, emotions, and behaviors?
The solution to this thing of living intentionally is knowing God, restoring that relationship with Him that was broken in the garden, and then coming out of hiding and being vulnerable.
In Dr. Randy's message titled, God's Original Plan, you'll learn how to intentionally align your thinking, emotions, and actions with God's design so you can experience the life He intended for you. Support Intentional Living with a monthly gift today, and you'll be a part of a special group that can listen to this message and get unlimited access to all of Dr. Randy's past teachings. And if you give now, we have a special back-to-school message called Intentional Parenting, filled with practical ways to be a parent. So don't miss out on this special opportunity. Give now, and you'll get access to these life-changing resources today by calling 888-888-1717 or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Thank you, Kurt. Support matters. We're totally listener-supported, and we watch the support. And because we're intentional living, I made a decision a long time ago, we're not borrowing a dime to do what we do. And so everything that comes in helps us continue this mission, and believe me, I am one conservative person. And so we use the money as wisely as we can. We've got a great team to keep the radio, podcast, events, things that we do going. And I would invite you and ask you to come and be a part of the journey with us. Call 888-888-1717, press number 2, or go to theintentionallife.com. Quick follow-up. Pray for Shannon. She's struggling. And I was thinking about that passage in Philippians 4 where Paul's in prison. He's been beat up, abused, everything going on. Maybe this is near the end of his life. He's in imprisonment, probably home imprisonment, but house arrest. And he's given all this, you know, find the joy of the Lord as he's talking to the Philippian church. I'm thinking, that'd be the last thing I'd be thinking about. I'd be thinking about my own joy, right? And he's thinking about someone else. And then he says, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. And he wasn't talking about success as we think of it. He was saying, hey, whatever's coming my way, I'm going to find strength in the Lord. And I would just say to you, Shannon, as you're facing this, it's not going to be your own strength. You're not going to change your son, yourself. You say, Lord, I need you. The Bible tells us too, Paul, same guy, Paul says, hey, be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving. Boy, that's a powerful triad, isn't it? Make your request to God, and then, hey, listen, then the peace comes, then the joy comes. But if we don't do the first, the second doesn't happen. Okay, we're getting close to the end here. I got to get Julie on. Julie, right? Julie's next. Yeah, Julie in Arizona. You know, we've been talking about worry and anxiety. It sounds like you got something you're worried about. What is it?
I have a day program for developmentally disabled adults, uh-huh. And I am worried about key employees leaving the business.
Hmm.
And I know logically I'm to trust in the Lord, but with CD, you know, they tend to obsess on those thoughts.
So you worry about if they left, what would happen, and what would happen?
You know, my program could suffer because of it.
Yeah. How much does this affect you, this feeling?
Quite a bit. I would say daily. And then I tend to walk on eggshells for fear of offending the employees or upsetting them because I'm so worried about them leaving.
So there's almost a sense of bondage, isn't there?
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah. You find your days to be hard then, just to enjoy the good things that are going on in your business and so on?
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, when I think of a practical response to what you're sharing, Julie, I think of the passage in Philippians chapter 4 that I've used over the years, and it's really my life verse 4:8. But it leads up before that where Paul talks about being anxious for nothing. Now, you got to remember where he was writing this. I'm thinking about what he's going through. He's not sitting on, you know, on an island on the beach waiting for, you know, someone to bring him some cool lemonade. And he's in prison, and yet he's able to say, be anxious for nothing, but in everything. Here's what I think it comes down to. What I've learned for myself, it's hard, but you got to do it. In everything by prayer In supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind through Christ Jesus. And then verse 8, which is really the thinking part of this. We got to get our mind straight. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue or anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. In other words, Julie, I think what Paul's telling us through the word is, hey, tell yourself the truth, and I know it's hard, but if this is God's business, he's raised up these people to be with me, I'll take as good a care as I can of my business, but at the end of the day, this is his business and not mine. Have you found if you really focus on telling yourself the truth as opposed to mm-hmm. some of the lies, it makes a difference?
And that's a good point. I can say I have not done that.
Yeah, and that's important. And I repeat that verse from earlier when I was sharing with Shannon because it really flows out of that into that verse of 8 where it talks about what we tell ourselves. Those passage right there, Philippians 4, is so powerful. Let me just say this. What you're facing, too, is a leadership confidence issue, and you got to ask yourself, what's the worst thing that could happen? You can't control what the employees are going to do, and you just need a backup plan. And go on. This is God's work, and let him pull the pieces together. Trust him. Doesn't mean you're walking around eggshells for the rest of your life is really not only a waste of time, it can be destructive because believe me, your staff will notice it very quickly.
Hi, my name's Amelia. I just want to say that I'm thankful for your radio station and how God has moved in my life and blessed me with family. I've been living intentional since January, and he's brought a lot of family into my life that I haven't seen in years, and I've been able to open up my home to welcome my family and help them out and lead them to Christ. So I just want to thank you all, and I pray for you.
All right, well, thank you for doing that. And for each of you, your ongoing prayers and support for the ministry mean a great deal to us. Jennifer's here every day, and when she's not here, she's helping out in other areas of the ministry. Stephen kind of runs the whole thing for us here as the producer of the show. And Stephen, thank you. He takes the calls and screens the calls and gets you all on the line every day, and then we have other staff that join in. And throughout the building, we got staff who are busy in marketing and programming and creation and content in so many different areas, a team of men and women who love the Lord, love you, and we're all here for one reason. We want to make sure that you can actually experience hope in your life. First of all, have hope in Jesus Christ and then experience it and then to live intentionally for him. Boy, there's where life really, really takes off. Speaking of taking off, I'm out of here. Thank you for being a part of Intentional Living. We'll see you next time from Intentional Life Media.